All right, so we're continuing from Ayin Gimel, right? In the Bazar. So we were doing the Shita of Rabbeinu Tam. Yeah. So like I said yesterday, we said a few times, you know, there are the two issues, right? There's the general halacha, and then there's the particular halacha. There's the general din of what you do with Rishon Batel. And then there's the question, what do you do by Yayin Nesach? So we see from Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, there's a machlokas in general about kama batel. Rashi seems to be learning that in general you do say Isser is batel slowly into heter and remains batel and actually adds to the heter. Rashi even seems to hold it by Min B'Shein Amino, because he, if you go through the pshat, right? I mean, even by the Mayim and the Yayin cases. But Rabbeinu Tam rejects the idea, but he holds it that it's not true that we don't say Rishon Batel. Not that it's theoretically impossible, but he holds it's not the fact. It's not the case from the rayas that he has. How Rashi deals with those riots, I don't know. But can we just, it's a big question, but can we just say something about the basic question of when you have Isser falling into Heter slowly, do you say kama batel, or do you say, what's the other term for kama, yeah, if you don't hold from kama batel, you know what they call it? Chozer v'nir. Chozer v'nir. That's usually what it means. That it returns and awakens. Meaning to say it was batel up till now. And then when more Isser is added, the original Isser awakens. Right? That's called Chozer v'nir. We have it later on in Agamar in a slightly different case, but that's basically the concept. So what do you say? What do you say for the question, the basic question in regular Isser, falls in slowly, do you say in its bottle, do you say kama bottle, and you can wind up having even Rov Isser and all being mutter because of kama bottle, or do you say no, once you hit the shear that is no longer shishim, then it's chozer v'nir, right? It's chozer v'nir because everything comes back. Can we say anything about that? I mean, obviously, just a preliminary thought, something. Yeah. Maybe. All right, so Sprung is saying that if you'll say kama bottle, it has to do with how bittel works, right? It has to do with how bittel works. If you'll say that when the Isser falls into the heter, it becomes heter. Right, then you'll lay the basis for a kama batel. That's the idea of bittel of kama batel. The isser what becomes part of the heter itself. Maybe just modify it this slightly. Right, it becomes part of the heter itself. And what's the other way? The other way, I wasn't sure what you're saying. Okay, so it's a little hard to see. I think the other side, the other idea of bittel means that we can ignore it halachically. We ignore it because of its size. Machmas miuto, it's mutter machmas miuto. You understand? Batel means that it's negligible. Because it's negligible, therefore we don't consider it, and we only consider the heter. We only say there's really a. We consider the heter as pure, even though, as long as there's only a negligible content of Isser. Okay, so it's sort of like the Isser, the shame Isser is suppressed because of its insignificance in size. But it never changes, it never becomes anything else. It's just a certain level of disregard for it. But as Isser increases, now you don't have a negligible quantity of Isser. Now, if you're going to say kama kama batal, it would seem you'll have to learn that the bittul is really a process of changing the shame of the iser into the heter. It's like the iser becomes part of the heter now. My heter has been increased. It's batal to the heter. It becomes nullified to the heter, and it assumes the shame of the heter itself. It joins the heter. So then, as I add more, I have a new basis, a new beginning. Now when more iser falls in, it's falling into a bigger mixture of heter. But if I don't say kama kama bala, I say chozer v'nir. So it means to say that the iser is there; it's not joining the heter, but in this ratio, we can ignore it as long as it's not exerting any influence on the tarovas, we ignore it. Halachically, it's a bit like in terms of the total of the two things, we say this one is such a minor portion that it's not mentionable. But if the portion increases, it's still omed there for Tzirif. It still is capable of having more Isser added to it to change its status. So then you'll say Chazav Ineir, right? Now, as it means to say, it's a question of is the Isser really joining the Heter, or is it just suppressed? Its own shame is suppressed because of its insignificant size. Yeah. Interesting thing is, I mean, I'm not going to go into it now, but there's a big rush. We did it a few years ago in Chulin, where he says that he holds that by a mixture, the Isser really becomes Heter. The Isser is Nepach leHeter. But he holds from Chozer v'Nir, so he tries to work it out. He holds from Chozer v'Nir. But he asks that kasha on himself. He says, if I'm really saying it's turning, how do I say Chozer v'Nir? But that's good. I think that's true. I think what you're saying is a good basic way to look at things. So anyway, so that's the machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos. But let's remain with Tosfos for a minute. That's what we started out yesterday. So what's Tosfos' shita? He says we don't say chozer v'nir in general. So when the Mishnah says that yayin nesach is aser b'mashu, it doesn't mean. How did it go now? So when Rav Dimi said that it's that when the Isser falls into the Heter, it's kama kama bottle, right? That really doesn't mean anything extraordinary. That just means as long as there's no tam, as long as it's not shishim, it'll be mutter, but when it reaches shishim, it'll be aser, right? So there's no Isser Mashu over there, that's for sure. So where is the Isser Mashu in the Mishnah? The Mishnah does say it's Aser B'Mashu. The Isser Mashu is when the Heter falls into Isser, right? And even though normally we would say that when Heter falls into Isser, once the Isser reaches the Shear of Shishim, once the Heter reaches the Shear of Shishim against the Isser, it should all become Mutter. Bayayin Nesach, that's the Chumrah. The Chumrah Bayayin Nesach is that we sort of like Bayayin Nesach, we say kama kama batal in terms of heter into iser. Right? Normally we don't say kama kama batal by anything. We just say it's a question of ratios, and nothing's really changing its definition. It's just a question of ratios. But Bayayin Nesach, that's the Chumrah. That when heter falls into iser, when Heter falls into Isser, we'll say that the Heter becomes Aser and increases the shear of the Isser itself. And even though I keep pouring Heter slowly in, to the shear of 100, 1,000 to 1, whatever I wind up at, I'll still say it's all Aser. So it turns out that there's a mashahu of Yayin Nesach to compare to the total of Heter, and it's all Aser. Why? Because by Yayin Nesach we'll say Kama Kama Batal. That was one chumrah. And the second chumrah was that even if I have Isser falling into Heter, which I normally say will be Batal B'Shishim, if a huge source of Isser pours into the Heter, like a Gigas, right? A Gigas is a very big vat. Kofa Aleim Harka Gigas, right? A Gigas is a very big vat. Then, for some reason, in that case too, even though you have 60 times the shear of the Yayin Kusher in the boar, Kenega, the Yayin of the Gigas that's coming in, since it's Nofish Amudeha, according to Rav Dimi, it'll be Aser. Right? And Tosis was clear. I mean, the rush is clear. Even though there's Shishim against the Yayin Asher, it's because of the Nofish Amudeha. And that itself is a machlokus between Rav Dimi and Rav Yitzchak. Whether what creates that phenomenon? Is it Dafka the Gigas or even a Chavis? Okay, so we have those two things to explain. So what do you say? Those two things in the Machlokas of Dimi and Yitzchak. I'll let you take over at the Gigas. In other words, plain shot is that Rabbeinu Tam is learning that the Chumra of Yayin Nesach means once there is an association with the Isser of Yayin Nesach, in the Yayin, it's not removed. That's the Chumra of Yayin Nesach. The shame of the Isser itself is something that the shame of the Isser itself is Usser. So it means to say like this, that normally you'll have Heter falling into Isser. So once, when there's no Shir Bittel, so you can't have it because of the Isser that's Me'urav. But once it reaches the Shir of Shishim, now there's a Bittel of that. Let's think this through. But he's saying by Yayin Nesach, once the Kusher Yayin fell into the Yayin Nesach, and Mamela, it was all Aser B'Shasiya, it was all Aser B'Ana because of the Yayin Nesach that was there. So then, all of that Yayin has identified, all the Kusher Yayin is identified, has a shared identity with the Yayin Nesach. Mamela, it has a shared identity with the Yayin Nesach. And the Chumra of Yayin Nesach is that even the identity of Yayin Nesach, the identity of Yayin Nesach is something that's not subject to change. I actually asked me, so how if the Yayin Nesach falls into the Heter, why is it Mutter? In other words, the question is, what's the difference between saying, why is it we say that Bittel will work by Yayin Nesach, right? So if a little Yayin Nesach falls into a lot of Heter, or a lot of Heter falls into a little Yayin Nesach, we say it's all Mutter, right? So you see, the shame Yayin Nesach is subject to removal. So then why can't I say the same thing? When I have a little bit of, when I have Heter that falls into Yayin Nesach slowly, so it's true it's Aser at that point, and maybe you'll even say it has the shame of Yayin Nesach Chal on it in some accidental way. But you see that the shame Yayin Nesach is subject to removal because that's what happens with Bittel. So why can't I say when I get to the Shear of Shishim against the original Yayin Nesach, it'll all become Mutter again? So that's what Levi's trying to explain, right? Yeah, Jonah? Right. No, so Levi's saying that Bittel doesn't mean the thing is changing. Bittel means that we ignore it.
Ignore it until Shishim.
Right, of course, right, like Tosus learns. So in other words, there's a difference. So say if a little bit of Yayin Nesach falls into a lot of Heter, so Bittel means we disregard it. We disregard it. That is acceptable by Yayin Nesach. But what's not acceptable is to say that the very Yayin that had the shame Yayin Nesach will now lose its shame and revert to a shame of Heter in its own right, and participate in a Bittel of Yayin Nesach itself. Does that make sense? Let's think about that. That's what he's saying. That there's an idea, in other words, in order to say Chozer V'Nir, in order to say, Yeah, in order to say a chozer v'nir in the heter side, in order to say that I'm starting out with yayin nesach, and heter is falling into it slowly. So as the heter falls in, it all is usser. Meir? As the heter falls in, it's all usser, right? When I reach a critical point of having 60 times what was previously heter against the isser, then I have a reversal. Now all of that yayin kasher that became usser through yayin nesach actually has to shed its shame of yayin nesach and express a shame of yayin heter to be mevatel the original yayin nesach that was there. That's the chumrah of yayin nesach. That once the heter was me'urav and was called by the shame of yayin nesach, it can't simply now be called by the shame of yayin heter alone. But that has nothing to do with bittel per se. Bittel per se is saying if a very, very small quantity of something falls in, we ignore it. We're not saying it's becoming heter. On the contrary, Tosus holds that if a little more issa would fall in, it would all become usser. That's consistent with the bittel idea of ignoring something. So in other words, that's his idea, that you can't have that the heter is going to come back and be mevatel the isser, because that would require it to change its, to lose its shame heter, and to regain its shame, lose its shame isser, and to regain the shame heter. But the chumrah of yayin nesach is that which was associated with the shame of yayin nesach can't lose the shame of yayin nesach. It's stamped with the. The stamp of Yayin Nesach is indelible. It's an indelible stamp, indelible ink. Can indelible ink become bottle? Of course it can. It can become bottle, but it can't be removed. You can say, well, there's just so little here. It's not. We don't consider it. But you can't say that 60. That 60 gallons of that which used to be used to have the shame of Yayin Nesach is now going to have the shame of Yayin Heter. Where'd the shame of Yayin Nesach go? So in other words, the shame of Yayin Nesach becomes like a status in the Chefza. It becomes part of the definition of the Chefza, not just a condition of Isser. In terms of regular Isser, we don't say the heter gets the shame of the isser. Just say it has the condition of being usser ba'achila midin the taroves of the din. But by yayin nesach, once it's associated with yayin nesach, because of the chumra of avodah zarah, like the Ran says, any lasol avodah zarah, anything associated with avodah zarah, that itself becomes a permanent identity of isser. So that's one idea. That's one idea. Yeah. So what's the svara of the Gigas and the Chavis? What's the svara of the Gigas and the Chavis? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I think what you said is good about that. I don't think it has to do with the girth of the stream. It's just my opinion. I agree. Right. Right, so notice that since we're learning that the Chumrah of Yayin Nesach has to do with the association to Yayin Nesach itself, so therefore, if you have a certain discrete entity, like a Chavis or a Gigas, we'll have to see if we can differentiate between the two, that falls in, you always view the bore in the bottom as containing a certain entity of Yayin Nesach. In other words, sometimes you'll have just, what we're trying to say is that the fact that it was a choshev entity that fell in, it's always associated. It's not just considered like a slight increase in the volume, in the total. It's not considered just an increase in the total quantity. It's considered like it's always part of this thing's identity that it contains a barrel of yayin. Now, if it's less than a barrel, then you'll say, well, it was increased, whatever. But But the shame of the but when it's come, when it has a full barrel, then there's a certain identity that is always associated with it. I mean, is that basically what you're trying to say? Yeah. You mean it doesn't have to be that the full barrel fell in there?
Right. It's just
a, has to be a certain type of event.
From the devious.
Right. I mean, truthfully, see, I think it has to do with, I think it has to do with the way people look at these things, right? I mean, a barrel, if a barrel is a significant entity, and a barrel falling into a bore is a significant event. So the source is always associated with the contents of this of the bore, and the source was Yayin Nesach. So it always has the shame of the of Yayin Nesach in it. Whereas if someone was walking by and poured for some reason poured in a little tzluchis, a little barrel, a little tzirtzur of Yayin Nesach. So that's not an event that registers that's not like an event that registers in terms of the bore. You say the mail is a little bit bigger, but it's not something that is like part of the history of the thing. It's not a significant event. It's not a significant addition to have its own shame expressed in the bore. The Maisa, what I'm trying to say is like this. There's two types of negligible. Was this what you were saying, Levi? Who was saying two types of negligible? Two types of significant? Yeah, what were you saying?
One is from the quantity.
Right.
And one is from the method of the
stretch. Right. I think that's what Yehuda is also saying. That there's two types of significant or insignificant. One is in terms of the quantity. But then the other one is in terms of the event, of the interaction. So in terms of the overall quantity, it's less than shishim. But this is considered like a remarkable event, a barrel. See, I was thinking maybe what's the question of the definition of the machlokas between gigas or chavis. I have to do a little bit of speculation here, and I have to abandon a little bit of the lashon. But what's the significance of Gigas versus Chavis? I think, what is the difference in the real world between a Gigas and a Chavis? It's true, Gigas is not portable. Now, Gigas, it seems to me, is the basically the source, right? And these things are the grapes are crushed in the Gigas. So the beer is brewed in the giant vat, right? That's basically the production. That's where the production takes place. That's the main entity of in terms of the source of the product. And then the barrels are the units that it's the units of its commerce. Those are the basic units of its in terms of the commerce. You don't buy a gigas. You don't have a wholesale market in gigas. No one buys it, no matter how big the party they're having. You don't buy a gigas of yayin. The gigas is where is in terms of the factory. But so the gigas, it seems, is in terms of the factory, right? And the chavis is the unit in terms of the wholesaler buys a chavis. That's how they used to do it. Right, the merchant would buy a chavis, and then he would sell tzluchas. He would sell pour into the retailer, into the retail customer. So what's the machlokas if gigas falls in or chavis falls in? It seems that gigas is really choshev in terms of the maisa itself, that. The pouring from the gigas is really that's the ultimate maisa of pouring. That's the greatest form of that's the most chashuv in terms of pouring, because that's the initial maisa of iroi, from the gigas into the chavis. So in terms of the chashivas of the, in terms of the pouring, that's the highest degree. But in terms of what entity it's coming from, the chavis is really the first practical entity of Yayin Esach. So maybe they're arguing about the, in terms of the event, what gives the event a chashivas? Is it the type of iroi? So then it has to go to gigas. Or is it that there's a entity, a choshev entity that it's coming from? Gigas is not really a really chavis is the first unit of entity. Maybe something to think about. Whether you like the idea or not, now is just appreciate what I'm trying to do with the method over here. Okay, and that is that the question of gigas and chavis is not just a question of shir. Trying to explain that it depends on your framework of what the chashivas is from. Each one agrees on the other one that if you'll take the framework of the maisa iroi, you have to go to the ultimate maisa iroi. For chashivas is gigas. That's because they fill barrels. That's what they do with it, right? They fill the barrels. So that is the, in terms of the maisa of the iroi, that's the maisa chashuva. But if you hold that the chashivas can come just from the entity of yayin, so really chavis is the first entity of yayin esach. Chavis is the primary entity. A gigas is not really an entity of yayin. Because like yuzu, it's not a portable thing. It's the production. It's not really the entity. But in terms of iroi, it goes into the chavis. So that's the first real defined iroi. So they're arguing not just a question of size of the, not just a question of the size of the omud, like it sounds literally, but in terms of what type of event has the chashivas to permanently define the bore. Okay, it's a little bit of a speculation, but I think it's a good speculation, and I think it's a good example of at least the approach we're trying to take. Okay. So that's the derech of Rabbeinu Tam. Right? There's no kama bottle in general, and then there's a chumra of yayin esach of an association with the shame. So that means two things. That which attained the shame, meaning the heter that slowly fell in, will not revert to heter. And if there's an identity of Yayin Nesach from an event, from a Maisa of addition, whether it's Chashivas comes from the addition, from the Maisa itself, or the entity that it's coming from, that also leaves a permanent shame in the bar. Okay. But the Ran learns differently. No? So what's the Ran Shita? All right, so let's take the idea he quotes from the Rambam, right? And that is what?
You have the huge amount of heter even falling onto a single drop of this, or it's
right.
Still the other.
He has a different idea. He has the idea that what does it mean Yayin Esach is Aser B'Kol Shehu? What does it mean that Rav Dimi says when the Isser falls into the Heter, it's kama bottle, but yet the Mishnah says it's also B'Kol Shehu? So has what's the kol shu case? The kol shu case is when the heter falls into the iser, and what? When the heter falls into the iser. So you have to know a little bit. You have to go when the heter falls into the iser, and what? And it doesn't matter how much heter falls into how much iser. That's his basic shita, right? That's he got that from the Rambam. That even if you have a drop of iser in the bottom and a ton of heter falls into it, it's always usser. It's always usser. Even though bittel would work, if the heter was in the bottom and a drop of iser fell in, there would be bittel. So it's not like there's no bittel by Yayin Nesach. But for some reason, it depends on the location of the iser. If the iser is what it's falling into, then it's never bittel. If the heter is what it's falling into, then it's batel, and he even holds kama kama batel. Like Rashi. So what's the svara? What's the svara? It's not the svara of Tosos, it's a different svara. Right? Because there's no bittel at all. There's no bittel at all. Can't negate the drop that's in the bottom. So he gives an analogy. He said, what's the reason? He says, the time of the mill, so lefisha oso davar she'omed bimekomo choshev yoser minabo olav. The thing that is in its place is more choshev than what comes into it. Ulefikach kisha iser omed bimekomo. So when the iser is standing in its place, vafilu mashu, even if it's a mashu compared to the heter, it's oser es hayayin shebo olav. It'll aser all the yayin that comes into it. Afilu chavas gedolav vas achas, even if the big barrel falls in and breaks. Mishum chumrad de yayin esach. That again is also only the chumrad of yayin esach. Oval bishah heter bimakomo, v'ha iser bo olav, ha heter mevatel es iser. Elim kain ball of iser meruba, but if the heter is on the bottom, as long as you don't have iser meruba falling into it, the iser will be buckled into the heter. V'chein yirmi devei Rambam zal v'zek inyin sheshanina b'mikvos. He says there's an analogous halacha like this by mikvah. That what? Revius mayim sheuvim b'tchila postlin as a mikvah. So if the first water that goes into the mikveh is a revius of mayim sheuvim, you have an empty mikveh, and the guy pours in a revius of mayim sheuvim, that's it. That's it. Even though you add in all, even though you collect all the rainwater after that, it's too late. But if you had mayim in there already, and you finished it off, it would take 3 lugan to passel it. And once you have a full mikvah, nothing passes it. But in the end, if you add up to 3 lugan of mayim sheuvim, it's okay. So mayim sheuvim, if it's the first thing, it'll passel berevius, but at the end, it's only 3 lugan. So he says it's a similar kind of an idea. It's a similar kind of an idea. So what is the idea?
So is it a similar
idea? Right? He's saying by the mikveh too. Since you start off with the revius, so everything is coming to it. Everything is coming to it. So too here. So the thing that is omei b'mekomo is chashuv. Yeah. So, what's that? Right. Yeah. So what the guys are saying is that it's really an indirect effect. That whoever's there first, whatever is there first, is going to define the container, basically. Right, you're going to define the makom, you're saying. So now this bor is a bor shel yayin esach, because yayin esach is there first. So now everything is considered being mosif to that entity. So since the yayin esach defined the overall entity, now we'll just say that entity is growing. But it means the shame is always tied to it. The shame is always tied to it. Getting there first has its advantages. Interesting. It is an interesting idea. I mean, that's the difference between the... That's the difference between Tosfos and the Rambam. Let's just think about this for a minute. I mean, according to Rambam, according to Tosfos, he doesn't have an idea of the Mokom. He just has an idea of the Yayin. So if you threw in 60 times the Yayin Nesach right away, then you can just be Mevatel that Yayin. Whatever Yayin was there, you'll be Mevatel it. But if you hold that there's a certain Chashivus in defining the Mokom, then it doesn't matter how much you add at once. The Mokom is already defined. Right? That's what you guys are saying, Levi and Yehuda. Yep. All right, very good. Very good.